So the text we're going to look at this morning is a text about two sisters, Mary and Martha. And I'm sure even as they say that, you're all familiar and probably can figure what the text is. And as we look at that text, I'm convinced that you and myself will respond to that depending kind of on how we're wired. As we read that text, there might be some of you that will think that Mary is a lazy bum who didn't do a thing and her sister worked hard and she just sat there. And there may be others of you that, as we read that text, think, well, Martha was a whiner and all she wanted to do was get her home ready for the showing of HGTV that was coming later in that weekend. And so she wanted everything perfect. But I hope today, as we look at God's word, that you see that really this is a story of balance. It's a story of how distraction leads us away from balance. And it's a story of just being able to refocus. So take your Bibles, if you would. We're going to look at Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It's on page 599 in the Pew Bible that sits ahead of you if you don't have it. So please feel free to look at that as well. And as we read God's word this morning, would you stand with me? Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are so anxious and troubled at many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Join me in prayer this morning. God, I'm thankful for the truth of your word every time that I open your word. I'm thankful that it is ageless, that words that were written hundreds and thousands of years ago apply to us today. And so, God, my prayer would be that your word today is active. God, that it cuts into us where we need that. I pray, God, that your word today and what it says would challenge us, that it would, God, convict us if we need to be convicted, that it would encourage us, that it would remind us of who you are. God, I pray that we wouldn't just be hearers of your word, but doers as well. Father, help me to speak truth through your spirit today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. In verse 38, we see that Jesus has entered a village, and the Gospel of Luke does not tell us what village this is, but in John, it tells us that it's Bethany. It's where Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus lived. You can see that Mary was a homeowner into her house. Mary was most likely the oldest. And being a good friend of Jesus, it would be natural for her to invite Jesus and his entourage in to her house. Now, we aren't told that Jesus gives them any warning. Oftentimes in the scriptures, Jesus would do that. He would send somebody ahead to say, "Hey, I'm coming." We don't see that this happens here. We just see that Martha, jumped into action to serve Jesus. She was committed to serving him well. She tidied and cleaned and cooked and hosted and served. Now, I read these passages and, you know, I think a little weirdly, I admit that. And I think often, what would it be like to physically have Jesus come to my house. You can see where there might be a little stress. And so while she's doing this, what's happening? Well, the story picks up in verse 39. It says, and she, Martha, had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet, at the Lord's feet, and listened to his teaching. Now there's an interesting contrast here just in how Mary approaches Jesus and the heart that she had and the law expert theologian that you heard about last week in verses 25 and 29. Look at what it says, Luke 10, 25 through 29. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him, to put Jesus to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to have eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly, do this and live. Here's the contrast. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? So here you have someone who is seeking just to kind of prove his point, and you have a humble person in the person of Mary who sits at the feet of Jesus just drinking in his teaching. Now, in understanding a little bit of the culture of that day, women were expected to serve men. That was the cultural norm. That's what society said you should do. So Martha was doing exactly what was expected of her. On the other hand, Mary did something that was very, very different. Commentator Kent Hughes says that Judaism did not forbid women to be instructed, but it was unheard of for a rabbi to allow a woman to sit at his feet. I think often of our culture today and what some people who don't understand Jesus would say the Bible says about women. What do you see here? A long time ago, the importance of women and Jesus taking time to have Mary sit at his feet. Jesus encouraged it. Mary wanted to learn, and she made a decision to be taught. Again, I think, boy, what if Jesus was coming to my house, what would I spend my time frantically doing? Would I be cleaning and dusting, and would I be making the best meal that I can make and making sure that the house is impeccably clean, or would I spend my time sitting at Jesus' feet listening to what he wants to tell me? I mean, obviously, there's part of us that would want Jesus to see that we're neat people, right? Because after all, cleanliness is next to godliness. It says that in, that's not in the Bible. So back to Mary. What would sitting at Jesus' feet really signify? It would signify that Mary was a disciple. And what is a disciple? Well, simply defined, it is a learner. And sitting at the feet of a rabbi is what disciples did. That's what Mary did. And why did she do that? Well, she wanted to hear from God first. She wanted to show Jesus that she recognized who he was. Mary listened to what Jesus was saying. Now, the word listen here is to perceive something or to comprehend or to understand, and it is the same root word that Jesus uses often in the Gospels when he's about to tell a parable or finish a parable, and he says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. I thought of the verse from John 8:31. where it says, so Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, if you're listening to my word, you are truly my disciples. That's what Mary is doing. So we see that setting up, and then we look at the next verse and we realize it's about to get really, really interesting. Because Martha is working hard and Mary is sitting there. And the more it happens, and the harder Martha works, and the more Mary sits, at least in Martha's mind, I can just see the steam starting to roll out of Martha's ears. I can see Martha giving Mary the old stink eye here. I can see her saying, psst, hey, I could use a little help. Luke 10:40 tells us this. It says, Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him being Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Now, we live in a distracted world, don't we? We live in a world where there's so many things that are always trying to get our attention. I was talking with one of the elders this week and telling him, as I tried to prepare for this sermon, how many things had distracted me. It just seemed like there was constant phone calls or something came up or something happened. We live in a world that distracts us. In fact, the definition of distraction is something that divides our attention or prevents concentration. Now, I thought it's always good to have a little bit of a video to show you what distraction really is. So, Caleb, if you could roll that video. Now, if you see anybody on a cell phone, you can see all those things would happen. I mean, we live in a world that deals often with being distracted. And that's what was going on with Martha. She was distracted because of the amount of work she felt she needed to do. Now let me be clear here. Martha gets a bad rap in these verses. It's easy to look at Martha and say, bad Martha, good Mary. Okay? Really, what Martha was trying to do was be a gracious host. She was doing what the culture expected of her, and in her desire to serve well, to have a decent dinner, it led to her being distracted. The Greek word for distracted here means to be pulled away or dragged away. And when you look at it that way, the implication is that Martha really, I think, wanted to hear Jesus as well. But she was pulled away and dragged away. I would guess as she hustled back and forth, Martha caught snippets of what Jesus was saying to Mary and the disciples. But she was unable to sit down in her commitment to serve Jesus well. Now, don't get Martha wrong here. I don't think Martha thought that Mary should never listen to the teaching of Jesus. I don't think that Martha thought that Jesus shouldn't be teaching in her house. I think that Martha believed that there are times when listening to the word of Jesus should take second place to the pressing needs of the moment. Oy vey. It's evident that Martha was exasperated with her sister. And I think it's pretty evident that Martha was annoyed with the conduct of Jesus. I can just imagine her bustling around and finally it pops, it blows, whatever, and she walks up to Jesus and says, "Don't you care? Don't you care?" You know, you read those those verses, that line that she has, and there's a disbelief there. There's a defensiveness. She just dismisses her sister, doesn't even call her by name, my sister. She displays a demanding attitude. She flat out tells Jesus what to do. Now you have to think about that for a minute. Jesus is talking. There's a bunch of people listening. Martha comes in and for all practical purposes yells at Jesus. I bet you could have heard a pin drop. Conversation must have just died. And then if Martha is anything like me, I would have thought, did I say that with my out loud voice? Man. So here's a question for you, church family, and here's what I want you to think about, one of the things this morning. When you get really, really busy with life, when you get stressed and distracted with life, what's one of the first things you quit doing? Sitting at the feet of Jesus? That's easy to do, isn't it? We get our priorities mixed up, and that's really what the issue here is with Martha. Did she not love Jesus? No, absolutely not. She loved Jesus. But her priorities got mixed up. Martha allowed the situation to take away from the joy of serving her Lord. I think some of the problem with Martha is that she also began to worry about what others were doing. She began to kind of compare, hey, I'm doing a lot and Mary is doing nothing. That's some of the problem too. Martha wanted Mary to serve Jesus Martha's way. We make a huge mistake when we think others should serve in the exact same way that we serve. Dr. Philip Ryken says this. He says, this is where the unattractive attitudes in our own service to Christ will lead. We become increasingly critical, finding fault with others for what they're doing or not doing for us. Before long, we began to try and tell God his business. This will happen when in our service for Jesus, we get distracted from Jesus. The church loses its effectiveness and joy and energy when we spend our times being the assessment agency of what others are doing for the kingdom. That's what Martha began to do. Look at verse 41, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. I love Jesus' response here. He doesn't take sides. He doesn't say, Mary, get into the kitchen and help your sister. He doesn't say, Martha, just leave it all and sit down. He doesn't take sides. It's Martha's wrong attitude that Jesus confronts. Jesus loved Martha as much as he loved Mary. He loved Mary by protecting her time with him sitting at her feet. But he also loved Martha, and you can see that even in the emotion of saying her name twice, Martha, Martha. Jesus is not blaming Martha for being concerned about preparation of the meal. He just wants her to see that she needs to refocus. He's trying to shift her focus from busy to better. There's a lot of us that need that at times, isn't there? To shift our focus from busy to better. Look at verse 42. He says, But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Martha was anxious and troubled, it says, about many things in the verse above here. But Jesus says there's only one thing that's necessary, and he refers to it as the good portion. In fact, some translations even say has chosen what is better. And what is that? It's what's necessary. It's necessary to sit at the feet of Jesus the way Mary does and to listen to what he says. David Gooding, who was a professor of Old Testament Greek at the Queen's University in Belfast, sums this verse up in this way. He says, amid all life's duties and necessities, there is one supreme necessity which must always be given priority, and which, if circumstances compel us to choose, must be chosen over all other things. That supreme necessity is to sit at the Lord's feet and listen to his word. It must be so. If there is a creator at all, and that creator is prepared to visit us and speak to us, as he visited and spoke to Martha and Mary, then obviously it's our first duty as his creatures to sit at his feet and listen to what he says. We read Psalm 27, four verses of that this morning as part of our worship set. And actually, Psalm 27:4 is in a footnote in my Bible, and if you have an ESV Bible, it will be in there for sure. But here's what that verse said again. It says, one of the things I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all my days, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That's the one thing. That's the one thing. Now, I want you to know that Martha heeded this gentle rebuke of Jesus, because just a few months later, her brother died. And Martha heard that Jesus was coming to her home, so leaving Mary, she went out to greet Jesus, and she was her usual blunt self. It says in John 11, verses 21 through 27, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And look at her response. She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Martha made one of the greatest confessions of faith in the New Testament, and she did so by choosing the one thing. Family, disciples are not called to either sit or serve. They are called to sit and serve. This passage doesn't mean that we should not do things for Jesus. It doesn't mean that there isn't a time and a place for us to go help at the food shelf. It doesn't mean that there isn't a time and place for us to help and do things around the church. So here's my plug for the church workday this Saturday at 8:30 in the morning. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't be involved in taking care of our children in the church. There's a time and place for service, and service is a necessary part of the Christian life. So if you have tuned me out for the last 20 minutes, here is the one sentence I want you to write down, okay? I often say I'm going to check everyone's bulletin when they leave, but I won't do that. Write this down. This is what I want you to hear this morning in the midst of this story. Doing for Jesus should never be a priority over being with Jesus. Did you get that? Doing for Jesus should never be a priority over being with Jesus. Why is that so hard to do? Well, I think honestly, it's just a lot easier to do things for Jesus than to be with Jesus sometimes. Or when we are with Jesus, we come with a laundry list of things that we want him to answer. Do we ever just sit at the feet of Jesus and listen? Jesus understood that. And I think we read it this morning. We get to that place by kind of understanding the order of how things should be. Do you remember what he answered to the lawyer in verse 27? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then what? Love your neighbor. The Ten Commandments. The first four speak about our relationship with God. The last six speak about our relationship with others. Our right relationship with God, sitting at his feet, will trickle down to our right serving with a proper attitude. That was Martha's problem. She got those things mixed up. So here's the question for you, church. How are you when it comes to sitting at the feet of Jesus? Is life so busy and so distracted that's the one thing that you do less and less of? I mean, work is busy and raising a family and kids are busy and, you know, every now and then you're trying to have a date night with your spouse and all of those things. And you know what? They're all good things. But when do they start to crowd out your time with Jesus? Dr. Haddon Robinson tells the story of when he was in seminary back in the 20s. And he said there was a pastor from inner city Chicago that came and talked to the seminary students. And this pastor told the story of this mom and son who lived together, and the husband and the dad had died when the boy was little. So he had grown up and he had just a really special relationship with his mom. And being back in the 20s, there was no TV to watch or not much. So their evenings would be spent around reading together and listening to the radio. And they just cherished that time together, just spending time together. Well, it wasn't long before at their church, the son met a young lady who kind of took his fancy, and they got married. And being back in those times, it was hard to find housing. And so the mom said, here's the deal. She goes, we'll make an apartment upstairs and I'll live up there, and you and your wife can get married and live downstairs with one condition. We still make time to just be together. And the son said, that's great, Mom. That's great. So son and girlfriend get married, and Mom moves upstairs. And for a while, it's really good. There is an intentionality about spending time together. And pretty soon it gets to be less and less. There would be days, weeks go by with maybe just a holler upstairs from the son to Mom. Came to be the mom's birthday, and the son gave her a dress. And she said, thank you. And he could tell that things maybe aren't right. And he goes, what's the matter, Mom? Is it not your color? Oh, no, it's just the perfect color. Thank you. Is it not your size? Because I have the slip, I could take it back. He said, what is it, Mom? And she opened the closet drawer and hung it with a number of dresses that he had given her over the time. She said, I love the dresses, but what I really want is you. What I really want is you. Dr. Robinson concludes with this comment. He says, with all our busyness, we'd better simplify our lives, because ultimately, God doesn't want your life as much as he wants you. Did you catch the title of the sermon this morning? Don't just do something, sit there. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to do just some really awkward thing here. We're going to close our eyes for 3 minutes, and I'll time us. And we're going to sit at the feet of Jesus. And here's the one question I want you to ask before the 3 minutes starts. I want you to ask Jesus, what do you want me to hear? What do you want me to hear? 3 minutes. Close your eyes, ask that question, and listen. God, I suspect for some of us this morning, 3 minutes might have seemed like an hour. Forgive us, God, when we just get too busy and distracted to spend time with you. It is amazing and just tells us of your great love when we think for a minute that the God who created the universe wants to spend time with us. And God, you desire nothing more than for us to sit at your feet, to listen to what you say. And Lord, we realize today that a lot of that comes by reading your word and just being quiet and allowing your spirit to speak to us. And God, I'm confident this morning that you did that with some people in this room or people who are listening online. And so my prayer would be, God, that there would be action that follows this. Whether it's a commitment to clear our lives, to be aware of distractions, to spend more time with you, whether it's a commitment, God, to make a relationship right, to apologize, to ask forgiveness, to repent, to come clean. Whether it's a commitment to be more intentional as a husband or a wife. God, would you continue the work you've started here today? God, we love you and we want to serve you. And we want to do that well, but really, God, what that comes from is spending time at your feet. Help us not to get our priorities mixed up, but to sit with you each day. In Jesus' name, amen.